Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning and welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on what's remaining of this Thursday morning. Coming up in about 30 minutes, she's running for House District 96. Danielle Dugar running on the Republican ticket. She'll be with us, so please stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the program, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest, a candidate for state auditor, but currently serving as state representative in for the people up in Muscle Shoals, Andrew Sorrell. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, I'm doing really well. Appreciate you having me on, as always.
And we appreciate you making time for us. So how goes it? I mean, you're up on air. Your ads are running. It sounds like you for first time statewide candidate. You seem to be handling it pretty well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, running statewide is about getting all over the state, meeting people, speaking to all the various little groups and everything, but it's also about fundraising, and then you just save your money, and spend it all in the last 6 weeks. So I went up on TV beginning 2 weeks ago in all the major media markets in Alabama. I've got a couple more minor media markets I'm coming on board starting Monday. And then, as you probably have heard on your radio station, I've gone up on radio beginning this week on all the talk radio stations in Alabama. And speaking of talk radio stations, I also picked up an endorsement this week from Dale Jackson up in Huntsville on his radio show. So that was pretty cool. So I feel like I got a lot of momentum in the campaign at the moment.
Andrew, let me caution you on one thing, that Dale Jackson endorsement. I don't know that that's... you do what you need to do there, but in some ways that may not be as beneficial. Obviously, I'm kidding. Well, maybe I am. I don't really. Let's get into it. State auditor, talk about this. Some people just tuning in. It's the election cycle, and they're wanting to kind of bone up on their politics before they go vote. But tell us about yourself, and then tell us about why you're running for state auditor.
So I am a serial entrepreneur. I started my first company at age 16. That company grew rather large, had almost 40 employees at one point. I sold that company last year. Started my second company at age 28, Gold Guns and Guitars. So I own two gun stores in Florence and Huntsville. And then I started my third company as Fast Track Investments, which is a real estate company. And all three successful. So that's what I do to make a living. I'm not in politics to pay the bills. I'm in politics because I enjoy it and because it's something I'm really passionate about. So I am 36 years old, got elected to the state house at age 32. And have thoroughly enjoyed my first term in the legislature. I feel like I've been very effective. I'm ranked the most conservative legislator in Alabama for the third year in a row. Just got that phone call a couple weeks ago. Scorecard hadn't been released yet, but they told me I was going to be number one again. So very excited about that. And have done a lot of work with your friend and mine, Representative Shane Stringer, getting constitutional carry across the finish line this year. And also civil asset forfeiture reform. I passed that bill last year, working with Senator Arthur Orr of Decatur. So lots of bills to restore freedoms and liberties, never voted for a tax increase, and really do my part to make sure that government is not growing in Alabama. So why run for state auditor? Because I really care about the position. The position itself is actually under attack. There are people who think we should do away with the position of state auditor. I think that's a huge mistake. That bill was on the floor of the state house the last day of session. We managed to kill the bill. Really wasn't even that close. But we did manage to defeat that bill, which was exciting for me. People need to understand the importance of the auditor. The auditor tracks all of the state's property, $1.2 billion worth of taxpayer-owned property, 176 different state boards and agencies that we do the property audits for. And we have 1% of our stuff is either lost or stolen every year. So I think it's a really important government function.
Andrew, this quadrennium, I think about three quarters of the way through, underwhelming for a lot of conservatives. A Republican supermajority didn't seem like Republicans had done much with it, but it really picked up some steam there in the closing moments of the quadrennium, wouldn't you say, particularly that last day?
was the last day. I was really happy for, it took us 3 years, but we finally passed that Vulnerable Child Compassion and Protection Act, the VCAP bill, prohibiting the hormone therapies for children, the sex change operations. That was an important bill to get through, and I don't know why it took us 3 years to pass it, but I'm glad we finally got it done. We got the Second Amendment Preservation Act done on the last day of session. What we did not get done, though, very disappointingly, is we did not pass the critical race theory bill, the divisive concepts bill by Representative Ed Allen. And I'm left scratching my head once again, wondering why there's such a disconnect between what the Republican primary voters in Alabama want and what they get from their Republican legislators. The fact that we failed to pass a bill so important, so much overwhelming support for, even a lot of Democrats support that bill because they don't want their children being taught that you are inherently racist if you're born white and things like that at school. So yes, really good end of session. One glaring omission was the critical race theory bill, and I'll give you one more. We didn't do anything on school choice. One more year passes, no school choice for you unless you're in the bottom 7% of Alabama schools and you have some limited school choice. If we're going to get serious about fixing education in Alabama, at some point we've got to address school choice.
Yeah, tell me this is your perception, though, and not that I want you to have to pick any unnecessary fights in the heat of an election cycle. I think we just lost Andrew there. Where I was going to take that was this. The AEA seems to be making a comeback here, and that slows down. Andrew, have we got you there?
I'll call back as soon as I get a chance.
Well, I think we still have not got Andrew there. Anyway, we'll keep trying. 251-343-0106 if you want to weigh in on anything we are talking about this morning. Still trying to get, see if we could get Andrew back on the line here. Let's see here. Well, in the meantime, we'll await his call. When he can, John writes, how does she feel about recreational marijuana legalization? Don't know. I didn't have an opportunity to ask her. A little reset here, on the text line earlier, we're talking about the gubernatorial election and who you vote for and how you vote for it, how you come to that choice. And look, the senatorial election, a little different. There's a bunch of different options, and I like it to do buying beef. You got sirloin, you got prime rib, whatever beef, whatever your preference is. There are distinctions. It just depends on what you're in the mood for, how many people you're feeding, the cost, et cetera. There's a lot of the gubernatorial race seems like buying mayonnaise to me. The options are what they are. They're all roughly kind of, maybe they're the same, but not really. You almost go down the aisle, you put it in the cart, and you don't give it much thought. And that's sort of where we're at. So the question I posed, what kind of mayonnaise do you buy? So give us your thoughts on that when it comes to buying mayonnaise. What is your preference and the thought process you go through? And that's sort of like going to the polling location and looking at the gubernatorial choices. Anyway, Andrew, I think we got back. Andrew, have we got you?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that. Got disconnected somehow.
Yeah, and we tried to call you back, kept going to voicemail, but such as it goes to live radio. Andrew, the question I was going to ask you, though, it just seems like, not that I'm trying to get you to make any undue enemies in the heat of an election cycle, but it just seems like the AEA is making a comeback here, and that's why you didn't get a shot at the divisive concepts bill, and that's why a lot of the stuff that got put into the Education Trust Fund budget did, because they're back. They're back in full force.
You know, certainly AEA has not been a friend to the school choice legislation. And it's not just the AEA, though. It's the Superintendents Association, the Class Association, all the education lobby is unanimously opposed to school choice because they're looking out for the education lobby and not for the children. Now, I'm all for the teachers. I want to make sure we pay our teachers well. I want to make sure that we have some things to attract qualified teachers to Alabama. All of those things are wonderful, but my number one concern with education is always the child. That's where the emphasis needs to be. We can take fantastic care of our teachers, but if our children aren't learning, then we are failing as a state when it comes to education. So I am one of the few people that refused to take money from AEA. They offered me, I think, $7,500 when I ran for state house, and I graciously declined. I said, no, thank you, because the Republican Party actually has a standing rule that discourages Republicans from taking money from AEA. Does not prohibit them, but it strongly discourages them from doing it. And I respect the rules of the Republican Party, so I declined the money. I will say this as well. My friend Danny Garrett is chairman of the Education Trust Fund. He returned a $10,000 check from the AEA this year. And I think that was shocking, honestly, to me and other people. Maybe not because I know Danny, but to have an Education Trust Fund chairman returning an AEA check, that's a really good sign. He's trying to send a message like AEA does not run education in Alabama.
Well, they may not right now, but the trend is certainly looking up in their favor. I mean, I know you're walking away from this, but I think people ought to be a little concerned. I don't know that we ever get back to Paul Hubbard and standing up at the balcony and the tales of yesteryear, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be on guard for that, right?
Well, no, I don't mean to imply that AEA has lost their power. I think that possibly this is the beginning of a new trend, though, where you have legislators starting to say, no, I'm not going to take money from AEA. Yes, I am going to support school choice. I'm going to make a bold prediction. Now, last year, I was on your radio show and several others. I made a bold prediction that constitutional carry would pass in the 2022 legislative session. And a lot of people kind of scorned that a little bit, but it ended up coming true. And we have that. It's going to take effect January 1st. I'm going to make a bold prediction. I think Alabama passes strong school choice legislation next year. I feel it coming. I feel the momentum. There are people starting to say, we can't hold this back forever. I've even heard some comments from some people who work for AEA saying, we know that we can't stop this forever. And that lets me know they've resigned themselves to the fact that school choice is coming to Alabama because it's very, very popular. You see that all across the nation, like Virginia with Glenn Youngkin. That played a big role in Glenn Youngkin winning that Virginia governor's race. And the Alabama legislature has been tone deaf on this issue, but I think that changes next year.
Yeah, and I would add this. You know, you mentioned the standing, it's more of a guideline than a rule, a hard and fast rule, but not taking money from the AEA as a Republican candidate. Although, this, like I said, that rule is or that guideline is violated all over the place in the Alabama legislature. The AEA still would like to see that go away, and I think part of that would be maybe – at least them saying, okay, school choice, where can we work with you here, Alabama Republicans?
100% agree. If AEA does want that rule to go away, because there's starting to be more people like me and Danny Garrett that are saying no to AEA money, and if AEA is not able to dole out campaign contributions, they lose a large portion of their influence. Now, they still have the influence of the teachers and the organization, but if you're not able to give money to Republican candidates in primaries, that obviously affects how effective they can be in Montgomery. So they do want that rule to go away. It is. I am actually bylaws chairman for the Alabama Republican Party, and that is a current standing rule. It's kind of funny to call it a rule when we don't enforce the rule. It says right in the rule there's no penalty for it, but we strongly discourage it. And there's a lot of people in the party who want to see that made into a rule. Say, no, you absolutely cannot take AEA money. If they're going to stand in the way of school choice when 88% of the Republican Party voted in favor of school choice resolution just 2 months ago in February at our winter meeting, then no, we're going to not allow any Republicans to take AEA money. AEA, I think, is worried about that. I think that they want to begin negotiating and working towards some kind of school choice bill next year because they see the handwriting on the wall.
Hey, Andrew, I hate to cut you short here. We're up against a break, but folks want to find out more about your campaign, your candidacy, or any of that. Tell where they can look.
Well, there's several different ways. My website, andrewsorrell.com, S-O-R-R-E-L-L. You can also find me on Facebook, Andrew Sorrell for State Auditor. You can tune into the Jeff Poore Show and hear my radio commercials playing, and you can watch your local news. I should have a couple different TV ads running all the way through May 24th.
Y'all check that out. Andrew, as always, we appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich.